Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
This morning on The View from Wayne America, it's our pleasure to visit with longtime Congressman Adrian Smith. What, 2007 was the first year?
That is correct, 2007.
So you've had a bunch of elections.
Well, things change quickly, let me tell you. I came in at the peak of anti-war, anti-George Bush sentiment, and that would quickly fade away, I think. I've seen the days when Barack Obama came in new as president, probably one of the most popular new presidents in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
That quickly fell apart, but then he was reelected 4 years later. Even though we took over the House majority in 2000 after the 2010 election in a pretty dramatic fashion. So I've learned that things change quickly. Right now we're poised to take back the House, and I think that is reasonable to say that. I don't want to take anything for granted, but I think a lot of reasonable people can agree that, and I think that's why Nancy Pelosi is reaching so far left now on policy, is she feels the majority slipping from her grasp as well. So she wants to get as much as she can here in the remaining months of this term.
Well, speaking of Nancy Pelosi, and I'm assuming you must talk to her at least once in a blue moon.
Oh, she doesn't want to hear from Republicans. I've reached out over time, but have been roundly dismissed. It's unfortunate. I think she has significantly hurt the institution of Congress. She's made history in some very negative ways here in the last few months with making decisions and how she runs the House in an unprecedented fashion, whether it's the abuse of the proxy vote, or whether it is denying Republicans from serving on various committees. And this is history of a pretty negative kind.
Well, I'm assuming you get along with your other Nebraska Congressman.
Yes. The three of us, you know, there are only three from Nebraska.
Right.
And we get along well. We know that we need to stick together to be effective for Nebraska. So I know my colleague Don Bacon, for example, is helpful on agriculture issues. And I try to help both Congressman Bacon and Fortenberry on the military issues that I know are important to the Omaha-Lincoln area as well.
Well, you're in the Ways and Means Committee, and what are you dealing with right now?
Well, we will have markup in committee next week and the week after on this $3.5 trillion goodie bag of free stuff. And I think we should know by now that the federal government spending so much money actually contributes to inflation. That means we should stop doing that, because inflation now is, let's face it, it's a significant tax on low-income folks especially, but it's a tax on everyone. It's a tax on the economy. It's a tax on the future. And this is getting to be a big problem, which tells me we ought not pass more spending of this size that I think is really causing us problems.
Okay. Well, anything else in particular? You're obviously back here. When's Congress back in session, by the way?
On the 20th, in terms of full session so far. That's always subject to change.
Of September?
Correct. If Speaker Pelosi can find some political leverage in changing the calendar, she'll do that. But we will have some committee action, like I said, next week and the week after. The tax situation that we are looking at, the president is pushing some very significant tax increases. In fact, you know, he wants to dial up the corporate rate. That concerns me that it would make us uncompetitive, and we'll go back to the days of U.S. companies leaving our country to locate in other lower tax jurisdictions around the world. That happened literally thousands of times in the years leading up to our tax reform. Since our tax reform of 2017, zero U.S. companies have left our shore for lower tax jurisdictions. And that's with a 21% corporate rate. That is a 21% corporate rate that is a lot flatter than the higher rates before. And so we want to be competitive. President Biden wants to dial up that rate. And if he does that, that will actually be a larger tax increase than even the tax relief that we gave through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017.
Okay. I notice Medicare and Medicaid have been on your radar recently. You want to explain a little bit what that's all about?
Well, Medicare is obviously a large, important program as well. It comes through the Ways and Means Committee. Medicaid, incidentally, does not. But Medicare, I've been focusing on telehealth, telemedicine issues, so that there can be more flexibility within Medicare. Oftentimes, we can improve health outcomes and save money at the same time by offering more flexibility as it relates to reimbursement for telehealth measures. So we've come a distance. I was working on this even before the pandemic. Pandemic obviously necessitates even more efforts for telehealth and telemedicine. Some of these things have been temporary. We need to look at making some of those appropriately permanent. Meanwhile, I appreciate working with these healthcare professionals, especially during very intense and stressful times. I salute their efforts and look to them for their insight as we do move forward on telemedicine.
Obviously, it's something that's important to everyone.
Right.
Navigable waters protection rule. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, you know, when President Obama was in office, he supposedly solicited input from the public. And actually, they created, some might even call it fake input, to make it sound one way. And that actually went to court. The courts said, you can't do that. And so President Trump came to office, worked with local officials. I was at the White House for the meeting with local officials and those of us from ag country. Who have been concerned about the overreach of the federal government. I appreciate the fact that President Trump worked so well with local officials, but now President Biden's trying to undo all of that, basically disregarding local officials, disregarding the fact that, you know, local and state officials are pretty good at managing various, you know, managing their jurisdiction and the policies that are necessary to keep our environment clean and also move our communities and our economy forward.
Yeah, the waters of the U.S. is another part of that.
Right, and it's an overreach by the federal government. It should surprise no one, but it's frustrating, obviously, that they've chosen this direction, especially when we found a way in the previous administration to meet the needs of local governments and protect the environment at the same time.
Okay. You want to mention some of the specifics about that for anybody who's not familiar with what that's all about?
Well, it's effectively the federal government having jurisdiction over the smallest waterways that we could come up with. America's a big country. Nebraska's a big state.
You should know.
That's right. There are different needs in different areas, geographically, geologically. And, you know, a one-size-fits-all approach from the federal government is not necessary. In fact, it can be counterproductive. So, deferring to local officials is what we need to do rather than centralizing these decisions to be made in Washington.
Well, speaking of Nebraska, you, of course, your district is one of the largest in the country, if not the largest. I'm not sure what would be larger, but I assume that's a challenge.
There are a couple districts I think that they say are larger. Obviously, the at-large states, whether it's Alaska. although Montana, you know, has had one district, and they're going to split that into two now. So,
anyway,
sure.
Do you see that as a challenge?
It is, but you know, it's something that I knew about when I first asked for the job, and have continued to ask to keep the job. So. You know, I've been traveling the district for a few weeks now over the last month, and I appreciate the opportunity to meet with folks where they are out on the front lines of our economy. I know it's been a tough year and a half. Literally everyone I speak to tells me that they need more workers. They need more employees. There's a workforce shortage that is so significant right now that it, in and of itself is contributing to inflation as well. And what, you know, upward pressure on wages is oftentimes a good thing, but when the cost of living exceeds that, then that's virtually a step backward. And we had upward pressure on wages before the pandemic without inflation. That's what was good for workers. And now, you know, with inflation settling in now, it concerns me a lot.
Well, yours is mostly a rural district, of course. So agriculture obviously is the number one driving force in our economy.
Right.
Any trade issues right now you're working on?
Well, trade issues, we're anxious to hear from the administration what their priorities are. I've reminded them of very significant issues. Right now, we're seeing Mexico try to keep our corn out. That's not based on science. That's based on a political priority from the considerably left of center president of Mexico. We have USMCA to work out differences like this, so we're going to have to engage with the enforcement mechanisms of USMCA. But we came a long way with a lot of trade deals during the previous administration. Actually, there were some opportunities for President Biden to pick up if he chose to. So far, he's chosen not to, and that's probably because it had President Trump's name on it. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the American people and producers are who lose out. You know, we need to set the political pride aside, hopefully, with this new administration and focus on the trade opportunities. There, we've seen improvements of China buying our agriculture products. Japan, we need to pursue a trade agreement with Kenya now to serve as a launching pad for more trade agreements around the continent of Africa. I would much rather we trade goods and services and engage in commerce rather than just sending a check to developing countries. So I'm anxious, though, that our trade ambassador, Ambassador Catherine Tai, she used to work on the Ways and Means Committee. Glad to see her in the position she is now. She's good to work with. We won't agree on everything, but she's good to work with, and I'm anxious to engage on behalf of Nebraska producers.
Well, in your most recent trips around the state, what are the biggest issues people are bringing up to you?
Well, the workforce shortages, for sure. But also the tax proposal from the White House, the proposed elimination of the stepped up basis, be a huge hit to agriculture. You know, the death tax in general stands to break up family agriculture operations. That's a huge concern. Nebraskans are engaged on this, and I feel that we've made some progress. 13 of my Democratic colleagues signed a letter opposing the removal or repeal of the stepped-up basis, but we have to keep them engaged so that they won't change their mind.
You get along okay with some of them, I take it?
Oh, yes. I appreciate several of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. We can have civilized discussions. Ways and Means Committee, we have many a civilized discussion. This next one on this $3.5 trillion proposal, I'm afraid that it won't be quite as civilized as we have demonstrated in the past, because it is so significant and it concerns me for the future of our country.
Well, what's your general take on the whole atmosphere in Washington right now? The last several years, it's been hard for everybody to get along.
Right.
Are we getting better? Or are we getting worse? What's your take?
Well, clearly, there's more polarization politically across America,
mm-hmm.
centered in Washington. Although, despite that, there is a lot of bipartisanship that just doesn't make the cable news channels.
Right.
So, you know, we can move forward with a huge compromise. It's just not as interesting to be covered on by the cable news channels, and so a lot of people don't realize it, but we're capable of doing that. I do worry, though, that oftentimes, and there's examples to prove this, that we can work out a compromise in the Ways and Means Committee, and we've got folks all across the political spectrum too on the committee,
mm-hmm.
and we can work out a compromise, and then Nancy Pelosi decides she doesn't like it, so she will single-handedly destroy some of our our bipartisan work in our committee, and that obviously is very frustrating.
All right. Well, anything else on your mind while I got you?
Well, you know, amidst our challenges as a country, we're still the greatest country in the world. We have more opportunity here than anywhere else in the world. That's what inspires me every day to get our country on a better track, you know, with solving the challenges that we face right now. But everything I work on, it's about the future. I tell especially students, I said, you know, my number one job is to ensure that they have opportunity. I can't dictate the outcome, nor should I even try. It's about creating opportunity for individuals across America, more specifically Nebraska's 3rd District, to take advantage of so that they can hopefully pursue a more prosperous future.
Okay. Will you come back for another term, run for another term next year?
Well, one term at a time, but I appreciate the job that I have and the opportunity to serve. And feel like I've gotten a little better at the job, too, with more experience. So I appreciate the opportunity to help Nebraskans and anxious to always focus on the future.
So you're not committing one way or the other right now?
Well, I mean, we're
2022.
Barely.
You would be up for re-election in 22, right?
Correct. So, no, I certainly leaning in that direction. And it's important, though, to, you know, focus on the issues at hand here with the 2-year term. That's by design. The 2-year terms obviously keep us hopping, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And a focus on legislation and problem solving, although hopefully focusing on the future of opportunity for America.
You ever see yourself seeking a Senate seat, or don't want to go that direction?
I like the job that I have now, and the opportunity to serve with some seniority as well, especially on the committee, the Ways and Means Committee. And so being more effective to work with other colleagues. One thing I like about the House as well is the new colleagues that come in every 2 years, getting to know them, their perspective, their districts, their experience, and being able to work with them in a way that's good for Nebraska's 3rd District as well.
Okay. How's the family?
We're good. I haven't been seeing them a lot lately because I've been on the road, so I'm anxious to get home.
Do they live in Washington right now?
Well, we're in Nebraska right now. We travel back and forth together a lot, so they're in western Nebraska as we speak right now, and I'll see them tomorrow.
All right. Well, we wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do for the constituents of Nebraska.
And likewise. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Hadrian Smith, again, our guest today on The View from Wayne America.
Been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC. The View from Wayne.